It's time for another episode of Yala Rocks. Today we have the founder of Greenstone Dance Arts, Siobhan Camille. If you've heard her on the podcast before, or you already follow her, you know. But for anyone just meeting Siobhan for the first time, she's got an extensive background in exercise science with postgrad degrees in both exercise prescription and rehabilitation science. And while this creates her unique approach to teaching, today she's going to be talking a bit more about something near and dear to my heart, habits. It makes sense, because what is a dance or exercise practice but a series of habits? Today she'll be talking about all or nothing thinking, why our practices need to evolve over the years, and you'll even walk away with some book recommendations if your interest has been piqued. Plus, she'll share one action step that you can take today to get going on a habit you've been wanting to start or improve. You can find Siobhan online through the links on the show notes page at thebellydancebundle.com/99.
Hi everyone, my name is Siobhan Camille and I am so excited to be part of the Belly Dance Bundle again. I love being part of the bundle because I feel like the whole ethos around the bundle and the whole concept that the bundle is built on, thanks to Tiffany, is that practice makes progress and we want to be kind to ourselves. So this is something that really aligns with my own views around dance and life. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that today because what I'm contributing to the bundle this year is a course called 10 Minute Technique, which I created because what I find is sometimes we can get overwhelmed by how much we think we need to be doing for dance or all of the shoulds that we place on ourselves in general. And we sometimes think that we're not doing enough, so it's not worth practicing at all. So a big thing that I often talk about is the all or nothing mindset. And I created this course into bite-sized practice chunks so that you can get a really good quality practice in a short amount of time. And it can help you get over that all or nothing mindset by committing to doing small amounts of practice frequently. So honestly, I feel like that's the too long didn't read of my podcast episode here today, but I will talk a little bit more about it. So what is all or nothing thinking? All or nothing thinking is the idea that if you don't do something perfectly, then it's not worth doing at all. And I think a lot of people can fall into this trap, especially when it comes to, you know, for example, with the Belly Dance Bundle, we get a lot of amazing quality content from incredible dancers and teachers around the world. And sometimes you might be going to do a class replay and the class is 60 minutes long and you look at the clock and you've spent too much time picking out your favorite hip scarf or making your cup of coffee before, and you realize you only got 40 minutes left. And this is that moment where your brain goes, oh, well, you don't have time to do this class now. When really, even if you only had 20 minutes and you just did a third of that class, you would still be contributing towards your progress in your dance. So that's what all or nothing thinking can look like. Another example for me, because I think a lot of you who know me know that my background is in exercise science and I'm a strength and conditioning coach. I work with elite athletes when I'm not dancing. For me, with my own training, so not just dance, but my own training, for example, if I've planned a 10 kilometer run for that day and I've had a really busy day and things just haven't gone my way and it's the end of the night and I'm not going to have time to run 10 kilometers, it can be really easy for me to be like, okay, I just can't run today. But what I will often do is catch myself in that thought, in that all or nothing mindset, and say, okay, but you know what you could do? You could go for a 2 kilometer run or a 3 kilometer run. Because even if I just go for that 2 or that 3 kilometer run, I'm still going to be maintaining my fitness. I'm still going to be making sure that I'm keeping my muscles, my ligaments, my bones, my tendons used to being exposed to that load. So it's going to be much easier to go for my run again in a couple of days' time rather than skipping it entirely. Plus, it's also just going to make me feel good because I know that I enjoy it and some movement is always better than none. So this can be a thing to think about as well if you're finding that you're thinking, I just don't have time to practice dance. Is it because you're putting unrealistic expectations on yourself? So are you telling yourself that you need to practice for X number of hours per week, X number of times per week? And if that's not working, have you tried looking at your plan and seeing what's wrong with your plan rather than looking at what's wrong with you and why you can't stick to the plan? And I think this is a really big thing as well, because our lifestyles, our lives, they change over time when we have different jobs, different life phases, different commitments, different interests. What was working for us several years ago in our dance training might not be working for us now. And that's okay. I think it's really important to recognize that that is okay. And what is going to set you up for success and sustainability in your dance is actually recognizing that and adjusting, rather than trying to force yourself to fit the same schedule into your week that you used to 3 years ago when your circumstances were entirely different. So I think that's one of the first things. It is just recognizing if that all or nothing mindset exists, trying to catch it in the act and seeing if you can counter it. Journaling can be really helpful for this as well. So if you notice particular thought patterns happening over and over regarding this, you could actually write down some notes and kind of challenge those thoughts. So reminding yourself that, yes, even a small amount of practice frequently is going to help me grow. And especially a small amount of practice frequently is going to help me grow so much more than deciding that I'm going to commit to huge chunks of long practice and then those practice sessions don't actually happen because they're unrealistic. So consistency is going to get you better results than a perfect plan that might not actually be attainable. So once you've started tackling that idea of all or nothing thinking, it's also then looking at what could I actually realistically do in a week. And if you know, if you realistically could be doing a bit more, but it's just not working yet, then it's worth thinking about how we actually build habits as humans. So I actually have a mini ebook on this and also a lecture that you will be able to watch and read in my 10-minute technique course as part of the bundle. But I do want to give you a little bit of overview of this here as well, just in case you don't buy the bundle or in case you want to start putting some of these things into practice now. I think this can be helpful. So there's two books, if you're a book reader, that I highly recommend reading, but I'll also give you the too long didn't read version of these as well. And the first one is The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg. I think Zoe Jakes actually recommended this years ago in a class, and that was how I came across it. It's all about habit building and how habits are a huge portion of what happens in our daily life, and they are unconscious, but it breaks down what's called the habit loop, which is cue, craving, response, reward. So these are how habits work. So for example, a cue could be seeing your phone on the table, and then the craving could be wanting to check social media. The response could be opening your phone and looking at Instagram. And then the reward is the little hit when you see that you've got likes. When we understand the habit loop, that's when we can start interrupting it and changing it or building new habits. So I found that this book, The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg, was really, really good for understanding this whole habit loop. But then there's a newer book that came out in recent years that actually, if you were only going to read one, I would personally recommend this one first. And it is called Atomic Habits by James Clear. And what I really like about Atomic Habits is that it's a much more practical take on this habit loop. So it teaches you about the habit loop, but then James Clear gives you four kind of actionable steps to attack each section of that habit loop, the cue, the craving, the response, the reward. So if we're trying to build a new habit or rebuild a new habit like dance practice, the first rule that he gives is make it obvious. So this is the cue. We want to increase the visibility of our cues for our new or our desired habits. So if you want to increase the chance that you're going to dance, then you want to make sure that you do not forget that you want to dance. So if you want to make it really obvious, you could put up a little post-it note, you can make a reminder somewhere, you could leave your hip scarf out somewhere, you could have the class that you want to take open on your computer for when you get home so that you remember that that was what you want to do. You want to make it super obvious that this is the habit that you want to partake in. So that's our cue. The next thing is the craving. So what James Clear says for this is make it attractive. We need to crave the habit. So think, what is going to make it more attractive to you? For dance, sometimes it's dancing with friends, so getting to see people because you look forward to socializing. Maybe it's lighting a nice smelling candle, maybe making a great cup of tea, maybe putting on some lipstick because you feel good about yourself. So think, what is going to make you crave the dance practice? And then we have the response. So we remember we have cue, craving, response. And to make the response as easy as possible, James Clear's advice is just make it easy. So how easy can you make this? And this is where my course in particular comes in. The key is to make these habits small and as easy as possible in the beginning. So I've made 10-minute technique with hours of different 10-minute videos that you can just pop on to do a really focused 10-minute dance practice each day or however many days a week that you want. But actually, James Clear even suggests starting off way smaller than that. He talks about the 2-minute rule. So can you pick a habit that is only going to take 2 minutes to complete? So one of the examples he gives in his book about starting an exercise habit is doing like one push-up next to your desk or a few push-ups, like something that is going to be super, super easy. So maybe if a 10-minute class feels like too much right now as well, maybe it is shimmying while you're making a cup of tea. Maybe it is undulating while you brush your teeth. How can you make it super, super easy to incorporate that habit into your day? And then the final thing, because remember it's cue, craving, response, and reward, is to make it satisfying. So our brains, they prioritize immediate rewards over delayed rewards. We're way more likely to repeat a habit that is satisfying. So how can you make yourself feel immediately successful? So with something like a dance practice, maybe it's crossing off the video that you've completed on a checklist. Maybe it's taking a selfie and putting it on social media. Maybe it's giving yourself a sticker. What can you do to make it feel satisfying so that your brain is going to associate it positively and want to do it again? So some things to think about. And like I say, I go over this in a little bit more detail in my course. But if you want to have a little bit of an exercise to go from here, I would recommend taking 5 or 10 minutes to jot down what kind of habit it is that you want to start. So perhaps it is related to dance, perhaps it's related to something totally different. And then taking some notes about how you can make it super obvious so you don't forget about it. How can you make it really attractive? How can you make it something that you want to do? And just a little side note there, I think this is where it's also worth examining the goal that you've chosen in the beginning. Have you chosen something that you actually want and aligns with your desires and dance in life? Or have you chosen something that you think you should do? So just something to think about. So how can you make it super obvious? How can you make it attractive? And then how are you going to make it super easy? And then how are you going to make it satisfying? So think of a little dance goal or a habit goal. Make some notes regarding those 4 things. And feel free to send me a message if you've got any questions or tag me on social media if you come up with any ideas regarding this. And I wish you best of luck in building your dance habits and working towards your goals. And if anything from today, I want you to take away that something is always better than nothing when it comes to our practice to make progress. Enjoy, everyone.